It is time to bring in Thorin Christendotter. It's time for Main Street Magazine on Robin Hood Radio. You can find, of course, Main Street Magazine throughout the tri-state area on for free various location pickup points, and also right here on Robin Hood Radio live on a Tuesday morning, and on demand at robinhoodradio.com. Click on On Demand. Click on Main Street Magazine on Robin Hood Radio, and we support
Hello. I don't think the connection is great, but
you sound fine here.
Okay, now you're good.
You can't hear good, huh?
You just came in right now. I lost you there for a minute.
All right. Well, you wouldn't be the first person to lose me for a minute. And you won't be the last. All right. Well, ho, 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 as you say in your introduction, this is the holiday issue.
It is. We've done an official holiday issue for a couple of years now, and, you know, how can you not with a cover like that, right?
Well, it's got lots of holiday color.
It does. It does. And Libby, who took the photo, spent a lot of time building that set, and so we were super pleased with how it came out, and she's been getting lots of compliments on it.
All right. We will go inside the online edition of the magazine. And the first story is the one that we will hit upon, and that's art exploration. Mary Béliveau.
Yes, Regina talked with her about her life, her style, her experiences and travels, and how a lot of her paintings are, you know, very exotic and with exotic animals, and she loves to paint people and different cultures and textures and colors, and I think that's very evident in all her paintings, which are beautiful and bring you to another time and space.
You know, I'm attracted to your second story. I'm 70. When I was right before I entered high school back in 1967, my mom built a log cabin.
Oh.
At the time, she built a 3,500 square foot log cabin.
Wow.
It was two log cabin kits designed and put together. And this is how far ahead she was. The whole downstairs, the wing went, when you entered, went the kitchen, it went to a living room, it went to a kitchen, to a dining room, to a sitting room, to a living room under a 40-foot cathedral ceiling. That was all one huge space.
Wow.
That was before people were actually doing open. And then if you veered off to the left, you had your first bedroom and bathroom. Then upstairs, two bedrooms and two bathrooms. But so when I saw the allure of log homes, it really is amazing. The log home is now, my brother lives in it, and full logs, it's an amazing house. My uncle built one right next to it, and it has so much identity. It's amazing, and it's actually a pretty comfortable house to live in.
Yeah, this is our real estate feature of the month, and Christine examined the allure, not only of log homes, but also the real estate factor of it. She talked to a couple of realtors, she talked to a couple of builders who have built some and who have lived in some, and I think we all understand there's a certain style to it, but, you know, some of the log homes that she has here are not your typical, whereas some are more typical, but it's interesting to hear about the, you know, the design of them, the kind of culture that goes with them, and also the maintenance and the things that are involved in owning and building a long home.
It was funny because the reason she bought two cabins, to have the open space, the one log cabin, which went all going north to south, had a long porch, okay? She didn't make it a porch. She, you know, they built it and they enclosed it in logs. And so about every 20 feet, there was a stanchion that had to hold up the building. And then the other house she bought had a porch on it. So on the other side, but it really was unique. Everybody was worried that it would be cold to live in, and it's anything but cold to live in.
Right.
But and there's so many different ways you can design it. She left the full logs open to the inside.
Okay.
Full logs, open to the inside. You look at the house from the outside, and it doesn't look huge. And you go inside it, and it's absolutely beautiful, and it overlooks a stream. And now more and more people have log homes. And what I like about your story is you just don't present the picture of one log home. You saw. I think at least three or four different pictures.
Four.
Of the way you can do it, and the one inside picture is just absolutely marvelous. So, great story on log homes, because, like I said, I lived in one for a while. So, and another great story, because I like food, and I like cheesecake. You've got a white chocolate and raspberry swirl cheesecake.
Yeah, Libby and Caroline spent a lot of time on this because they, as they said last month, which their recipe then was pretty simple, but they were going to make it up to us with a very difficult one, or on the more difficult side of what they have done, I guess you could say the range has been. And I got to say, this is a fantastic cheesecake. Libby brought me two slices, or it was one slice, but Ashley didn't want the other, so I was fortunate to get a big slice. And it is delicious, and the combination of flavors, the textures is wonderful. And she said, you know, although it's not difficult, I guess I should take that back. The recipe isn't difficult. It's just a lot of steps, especially if you make the crust, you make the, you know, all the little pieces that go to it. But it's totally worth it. It was delicious and one of the best cheesecakes I've ever had.
Something about cheesecakes, I don't know. They're just amazing, no matter how rich they are. And they are rich. They can't be anything but rich. You can tolerate the richness. I don't know what it is. Maybe it doesn't matter whether it's a plain cheesecake or if it's like this. It's just a totally different dessert. It's like mousse gone wild to me.
Well, this one was light. It wasn't a heavier, dense one.
They're amazing. That's all I can say about it. But then again, I was used to New York cheesecake. So, Your next story also interests me because we here, of course, at Robin Hood Radio operate the Bargain Barn Thrift Shop. You've got a story here about the elephant's tusk. And I can look at the story and I can tell you, and we don't know why, but for the past, I'll say, 3 months, the sales at the Bargain Barn have been through the roof, through the absolute roof. And I think shops like the Elephant's Tusk and also nonprofit shops like the Bargain Barn reach an audience now that is not limited to age or social status. People like to go and shop and find amazing things.
They do. And I spoke with Maria for this entrepreneur feature, and her business is fairly new. She officially opened at her new location in May. So she's been on Main Street in Millerton for, you know, just over 6 months. And she was so wonderful to talk with about the business, about the inventory that she has, where she gets it from. It's not just, you know, used items that she has. No. She has some new. She has been bringing in more artisans, local artisans, and jewelry. She said her inventory literally changes every day, and that she has absolutely loved getting to know all the people in the community, and even further abroad, her customers and just neighbors, and being part of the business community there.
Does she find that people come into the shop, and people tend to shop in shops like this for longer periods of time? They linger, and it's amazing. They also strike up conversations with other people in the store at the same time.
She did say, yep, there's a lot of conversations. She wants people to feel welcomed and to be able to spend the time to look, because there's a lot to look at. You know, whether it's little trinkets, the furniture that she refurbishes, or clothing, or, as I said, the jewelry or artisan pieces that she's been getting in. But, you know, she definitely wants people to feel welcome to do that, to ask questions and to just roam around.
Well, I find the story striking. And we've got time for one more quick story, and that is, I love the picture that goes with the story in Main Street Magazine, mainstreetmag.com, holiday festivities, and you got a gorgeous picture there.
Yeah. Regina kind of did a roundup of only a handful of things that are happening in the region that people can attend, and it gives a little background of each. She kind of went from the Berkshires down towards Poughkeepsie. And so it's a little bit for everyone. And of course, there are so many more other things also happening, or that have happened or will be coming up. But this is just a little glimpse and a couple of ideas for folks.
Yeah, it's, you know, we live in a pretty amazing area. It doesn't matter where you go. The holidays are celebrated in so many different ways. And we find out there's so many different traditions in the area, everything from Sinterklaas on and on. That it really is a special area. It doesn't matter whether it's summer, winter, fall. or Christmas. It's just a special area.
It is indeed.
All right, so Main Street Mag is on the web, and I love the video now at the front of people delivering the magazines.
Yeah, it's if it takes a minute to load, it'll load. And Libby and Ashley finished all their deliveries. We got the magazines last Thursday, and they were finished delivering, I think, everywhere by Saturday, so all locations should have them. And if people ever need a copy, they can feel free to stop by your office to grab one.
All right. Thorne, we'll speak to you next week.
Sounds good. Stay warm.
Take care. Thorne Christian Daughter, Main Street Magazine, here on Robin Hood Radio at mainstreetmag.com on the web.